It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast, talking real estate, of course, around the UAE, and available on Spotify this morning and Apple and wherever you get your good podcast from. Well, it's a Thursday morning, not just any Thursday morning. Yes, it is the 1st of June for 2023, which means, of course, that July and August are suddenly looming and the year of 2023 is starting to slip away. Let's hope that the month of June is your best month of the year so far, and that any real estate transactions and negotiations that you might be doing this month are extremely fruitful for you. And remember, we have the most comprehensive real estate podcast information across the UAE every week, as we talk to the leading real estate voices with a lot of analysis. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that. Our email address is dubaipropertypodcast@gmail.com. Of course, we would love to hear from you. Coming up this morning on the 1st of June, we are catching up with Luana, and she has an interesting real estate story from the UK this morning on probably what not to do when it comes to buying a property. In fact, I would strongly advise not doing what Luana did. However, it did net her the right result and the right outcome. What was it? What did she do? We'll find out next.
Keep updated with the latest real estate news, economist predictions, property sales, or what's trending right now on the Dubai Property Podcast.
I see this morning that Knight Frank, now they've revealed that global high net worth individuals have $2.5 billion earmarked for Dubai's real estate this year. If you have a look at last year for 2022, the high net individuals spent $3.8 billion on properties, and that amount is spent on properties above $10 million. The areas that they are spending in is downtown, the Palm Jumeirah, of course, with East Asian investors favouring downtown and Business Bay, with the preference shifting towards recently completed homes, with 53% of buyers focusing on those exclusively. And if you need any more proof that Dubai's real estate market is on fire, the most expensive penthouse ever on the iconic Palm Jumeirah has sold, get this, a mind-boggling 220 million dirhams. And this expansive and exquisite penthouse at AVA at Palm Jumeirah offers a massive 33,500 square feet of space. Of course, it's got the infinity lap pool. It's got stunning views. You'd want them for that, wouldn't you? And a four-floor indoor garden. That's probably the thing that I would find the most interesting to look at, the four-floor indoor garden. It's luxury on a whole new level that you and I will never experience. But seriously, how big do you want to go? Sometimes simplicity just works better than opulence.
Remember to follow us on any of the podcast platforms so you never miss a real estate podcast. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. We're on all of them. Know your property with us.
Well, you might have heard about the British woman that confessed that she ended up buying a property when she was drunk. How do you do that? Well, let's find out from her. And she is joining us from Wales in the UK. And a very good morning to you, Luana. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to be here.
Of course, all of our listeners are going to be wondering, how did you buy this property inebriated?
Well, I'd been to see the house. It was a repossession. And I went to see it with a friend who was interested in buying it. But as soon as we walked in, she changed her mind because it was so run down. The area was rough. I mean, you know, it was bad, but I quite liked it. I took a bit of a shine to it. I kept thinking, well, you know, what could it be like? So a little while later, she kept me up to date with everything that was going on, auction and everything like that. I was working in a cocktail bar at the time. After work, we stayed for a couple of drinks, as we, you know, we did quite regularly. But this time was particularly wild. We ended up playing drinking games. I ended up stumbling home at 8:30. Honestly, I don't remember. But apparently, I said, I'm buying that house, and I phoned the estate agents, and I put in a bid.
Okay, so let's just back this up a little bit. Tell me a little bit, because you're a first home buyer, how long did it take you to save up for your deposit for this first home?
Well, the house was actually, I put £20,000 as my bid, and I won it there. The deposit was £5,000. So, you know, it wasn't astronomical. It was something that I could manage. At the time, you know, I wasn't earning much, but I was a good saver. So, you know, it was all fine. I had that ready to go. And yeah, I got the house and I moved in not long afterwards.
You say that you can't remember actually putting the bid in. So when did you get clarity that, hey, I've actually bought a house? When did that actually occur for you?
I woke up all dizzy and hungover, dry mouth, all the rest of it. And my ex at the time was giving me the silent treatment. I didn't know why. So I had all kinds of things going on in my head. Or what have I done? What have I said? And I kept asking him, what's wrong? What's wrong? And eventually he snapped at me. I can't say the exact words on air, but he said, you bought an F house.
Yeah. Did he not like the house that you had bought? Did he think it was a bit too run down? I mean, it was your money though, right?
It was my money, yeah, it was my money, my house. I went to live there on my own. Everything was fine. I think it was just because I was drunk and he probably was worried about my decision-making skills being in such a state. But you know what? To be able to hold a conversation with the estate agent and put my bid down, you know, they didn't realise I was drunk. You know, I must have had something together.
Yes, so subconsciously you were there, you were on, you were thinking real estate, and you were still switched on enough to buy it. So that says something about the way that you think about real estate, maybe.
As soon as I walked into that house, I could just see the potential, you know, and you know, isn't it all about taking risks? Like, nothing's ever going to be safe. Yes, I was drunk, but it turned out very well. It's the best drunk decision I ever made, and I would do it all over again.
Now, I've got to ask you this question, Luana. What sort of media attention have you had? I mean, here we are in Australia giving you a call in Wales. Has your phone been running hot?
Do you know what? This story's gone crazy. It was a little throwaway comment that I made to a journalist, thinking it was going to be part of an article. It ended up being its own article. It ended up going worldwide. What can I say? I never knew that it was going, that people would be so interested.
Now, what's happened since you bought this house? Because I think you sold the house, you made some profits, and then you got into your second and third property, and then I think you moved to Portugal. Tell us a little bit about what happened after this property.
Yeah, so I sold it for twice the price. I used that as a deposit for another house, a better house and a better area. And then I did the same again. So I just, you know, I worked my way up that way. And then I moved to Portugal, which is something that I always wanted to do. Yeah, I was able to move to Portugal. I set up a business that was online. it gave me freedom, you know, and it all started there. And now I came back to the UK in the pandemic. So now I'm in the UK, I'm on Anglesey, and I'm buying a house here, or I will be buying a house here.
And so after you sold the first one, did you stay with the theme? Did you have a little bit of alcohol perhaps to go to the second one?
Not. Maybe I should have done.
Well, it was such a great result, so I was just thinking perhaps you want to keep to that sort of method. It worked.
I'll bear that in mind for future.
I'll leave it there, Luana. Thank you for coming on to the Real Estate Podcast and sharing your story, and keep in touch. Let us know what other sort of properties you buy and the method.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Bye.
From luxury villas to affordable apartments across every suburb in Dubai, talking real estate with comprehensive insights on the Dubai Property Podcast.
And since the podcast started off talking about Palm Jumeirah and the opulence, I thought we could end the podcast this morning with some more information about the Palm Jumeirah, particularly if you are living outside of the UAE and not sure exactly what Palm Jumeirah is. So let's go back this morning a few podcasts ago to Mario explaining exactly what Palm Jumeirah is all about.
For those people who don't know what the Palm Jumeirah is, I mean, it originally was going to be one of three man-made islands just slightly out into sea. Of the three, only one was developed fully and is still not finished, and that is Palm Jumeirah. It is the jewel in the crown of Dubai. I mean, some people call it the eighth wonder of the world, the fact that you can build effectively on water. It's made up of residential and commercial entities, hotels. Some of you may have heard of the Atlantis Hotel. And recently, there was another hotel/residential development called the Royal Atlantis, which again is an iconic structure. Everybody wants to live on Palm Jumeirah. It has their own private beaches for the villas on the fronds. There is a cachet about it. There is an upmarket trend to live there. The villas are huge. It's just what people want. And as a result, that drives the prices up. There aren't many villas other than on the fronds. The rest is made up of the trunk, where there are apartments. Hotels are on the crescent. This whole archipelago of island, if you like, can be seen from space. So it's super, super special. And that's why, you know, people want to live there. But it's not quite finished. It's been a project that's been running for over 20 years and will continue, because there are still pockets of land that haven't been developed. And developers are scrambling to grab hold of them because they've seen the value. But just as a side note, there is going to be a new palm that is coming, which is Palm Jebel Ali. This was a project that was shelved some years ago, but the developer, Nikhil, is going to be developing this soon this year. So watch this space. The world will know about it because it will attract, obviously, lots of other buyers from the capital. It's just going to be a huge project that, with the success from Palm Jumeirah, the second time round, if I can put it that way, will actually ensure its success. When they actually launch this, it'll be on everybody's lips. Palm Jebel Ali will be the talking point globally, 100%, I'm sure of it.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.